Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. The Importance of Courage.
Hello. I've never been a boxing fan, and so normally I wouldn't feel qualified to say anything about this sport. In the past couple of weeks, however, I've been amused by all of the public commentary by media spokesmen, politicians, and boxing officials about the fact that one boxer of the African persuasion saw fit to bite a sizable chunk out of the ear of another boxer of the same persuasion during a recent match. Rather, I have been amused by the fact that the one thing none of these people has mentioned in the discussions of the ear-biting incident is the racial dimension. They all have carefully avoided saying anything at all about the fact that Mike Tyson is a Negro, lest anyone think that they are suggesting that his race had anything to do with his behavior. Heaven forbid. Now, let me tell you, the refusal of the media to say anything about race in the Tyson affair doesn't mean that they aren't aware of it. For the next 6 months, they'll be scraping up every affirmative action black rocket scientist and every affirmative action black brain surgeon and every affirmative action black university president and every affirmative action black Air Force general they can sign up to interview on TV for one thing or another, in an effort to neutralize the damage Tyson has done to their carefully promoted illusion of racial equality. All of this is eerily reminiscent of George Orwell's novel 1984, in which people are able to ignore the evidence of their eyes and ears, are able to shut down their reasoning processes, and are able to interpret everything around them in a politically correct manner. The force which makes Orwell's characters subordinate reason to political correctness is fear. Fear of the thought police. Now, in America today, we do not have thought police. Not yet. We do have, of course, thought crimes and thought criminals. They are called hate crimes and hate criminals and are defined in terms of what the perpetrator was thinking at the time he committed an act. Our beloved Big Brother, Bill Clinton, that is campaigning hard for more laws against thought crimes, and so are the Jewish media and the other minions of political correctness. I suppose it won't be long before we do have a new secret police agency to catch thought criminals. Perhaps they'll be called the hate police or the equality police or something of the sort. Or perhaps thought criminals will continue to be hunted down by the FBI as at present. At this time, however, it is not fear of being caught by the thought police and tortured, a la 1984, which keeps all of the boxing commentators from suggesting that Mike Tyson's race has something to do with his behavior. It is fear of less formal punishments. It is fear of being condemned by all of the other commentators. Fear of being ostracized from the ranks of the politically correct. Fear of not being invited to Washington, New York, and Hollywood cocktail parties. And, of course, ostracism can have very real economic consequences. It can result in the loss of employment, for example. To be politically correct, one must not only have the correct thoughts at all times oneself, one also must condemn and shun anyone who manifests incorrect thoughts. One must drum the politically incorrect person out of correct society. This fear of being politically incorrect has reached ridiculous dimensions. Take the widespread phenomenon of white flight, for example. Millions of white people are fleeing areas which have a high percentage of blacks, Mexicans, and other non-whites, and are relocating to predominantly white areas. Sometimes this just means a move from city to suburb, or from one suburb to another. Sometimes it means moving to another state or another region of the country with fewer non-whites. But if you ask one of these fleers why he is fleeing, you will hear every sort of answer except the true answer. Hardly anyone will admit that he is moving to get away from non-whites. He is terrified of being thought a racist. I am sure that many of these fleers don't even admit their racial motive to themselves. I am sure that many of them feel pangs of guilt whenever they do think about their motives. This is a deplorable situation, and it is an impressive proof of the enormous power of the mass media to brainwash the population. What George Orwell's Ministry of Truth did in the author's imagination, Time Warner CNN, Disney ABC, and the other Jewish media conglomerates are doing in fact. The more I see things like the reaction to Mike Tyson's cannibalism, the more I am convinced that the reason white Americans have let themselves be backed into the corner they're in now is not because they're stupid. It's because they're lacking in the courage to say what they really believe, if they may be criticized for saying it. I'm sorry to say that I've seen the same sort of timidity in myself. When interviewers have asked me whether or not I'm a racist, I have responded by asking, "Well, what do you mean by the word racist?" I've tried to wiggle out of giving a direct answer to the question because the Jewish media have made such an enormous investment in demonizing the label racist that one has to screw up one's courage a bit to come right out and say, "Yes, of course I'm a racist." And you know, one can quibble over the details of the definition of the word, but it's pretty clear what the interviewers have in mind when they ask me whether or not I'm a racist. These days, anyone is a racist who refuses to deny the abundantly clear evidence that there are inherited racial differences in behavior, intelligence, and attitudes, for example. A racist is a person who will not pretend that he sees no differences, which is why all of the boxing commentators do pretend that race is irrelevant and won't mention Tyson's blackness in connection with his attempt to eat his opponent in the ring. A racist is any white person who prefers to live among other whites instead of among non-whites, and prefers to send his children to white schools, which is why the white fleers won't tell you the real reason for their flight. A racist is any white person who feels a sense of identity with, a sense of belonging to, his own tribe, his own people, his own race, and who shows an interest in his race's history, its heroes, its culture, its folkways, which is why Western civilization, European history, and other traditional race-oriented curricula are being phased out at American universities and are being replaced with various multicultural offerings designed specifically not to stimulate racist feelings in the students. A white racist is a person who finds the members of his own race more attractive physically than members of other races, and who is instinctively repulsed by the idea of racial intermarriage or by the sight of a white person intimately involved with a non-white, which is why the Jews in Hollywood are turning out so many films which promote racial mixing, films which portray interracial romance as glamorous and fashionable, and why so many trendy, fashion-conscious white women make it a point to be seen in public with their black boyfriends these days. And let's face it, a racist is a white person who is so disgusted with the multiracial cesspool that America is becoming under the present system of government and media policies, and so alarmed about the threat to the future of his people that he is willing to do anything, willing to do whatever it takes to derail that system. Which is why the media and Mr. Clinton have become so shrill recently about the need to combat hate criminals. Courage. That is the key to our survival. Courage is more important than money, more important than intelligence, more important than friends and political or business connections. Until we have the courage of our convictions, neither we nor our convictions will survive. I've thought about this a lot, and I am sure that it is true. I don't really believe that a coward can change his nature and become a hero, but I do believe that many of us who have let ourselves be intimidated and bullied because we didn't want to give offense, we didn't want to be rude, we didn't want to seem ungentlemanly, we didn't want to be unpopular, I do believe that we can begin reasserting ourselves. We can begin finding a little bit of courage in ourselves. We can resolve that we will no longer be bullied into going along with the crowd when we know that the crowd is wrong. In my case, I have resolved not to refrain from speaking out whenever speaking out is the proper thing to do. I've resolved not to try to wiggle away from saying exactly what I believe when someone asks me whether or not I'm a racist. And I believe that it would do many other people a lot of good to make a similar resolution. I believe that it would be good for their souls. This doesn't mean that we have to be deliberately rude or offensive, but it does mean that when an interviewer asks me what I think about Mike Tyson's snacking on his opponent in the ring, I'm not going to waste my time talking about Mike Tyson. I'm going to say that we should not judge the behavior of other races by our standards. I'm going to say that spectator sports in the United States have become a disaster, and that they will remain a disaster until we have swept the whole theory and practice of multiracialism into the trash bin of history where it belongs. Professional sports in the United States today have the spirit of the contests staged in the Roman Colosseum during the last phase of the Roman Empire, when slaves from every part of the empire fought against other slaves for the gratification of a degenerate mob of onlookers. We need to return instead to the spirit of the Greek Olympics, in which only Greeks participated. In the Olympics, as opposed to the contests in the Colosseum, in the original Olympics, all of the contestants and the onlookers were of the same race and shared the same values. The Olympics were an expression of the Greeks striving for excellence. They were a racial expression as well as a spiritual expression. Compare that with what we have in the United States today, where degenerates like O.J. Simpson and Mike Tyson, the recent descendants of our African slaves, put on contests for the amusement of a debased citizenry. Yes, I am a racist, and I believe that we should not make a fuss about the behavior of black athletes. I believe that their behavior should be none of our business. And I also believe that they should not be viewed on our television screens and held up by the Jewish masters of the media as role models for our youth, nor should they be involved in any of our athletic contests. I believe that we should get them out of our country and out of our lives. And I believe that we should do away with the system which in this century has changed athletics in America from something at least remotely similar to the Olympics into something very much like what took place in the Colosseum. And I also believe that we should get rid of the people behind that system, the people who deliberately conspired to make professional athletics in America what it is. And, as I said, there's no need to be rude about this. No need to use the N-word or engage in name-calling. But we do need to be completely honest for a change, both with ourselves and with others. We need to have the courage to face the whole truth regarding our situation and what we need to do about it. That doesn't mean that every time I speak with an interviewer, I have to tell him that we can't restore America to spiritual health until we restore her to racial health. And that means total geographical racial separation. I don't have to burden him with all of that unless he specifically asks for it. But it does mean that I should not equivocate when asked whether or not I'm a racist. I should be as straightforward and direct and clear and honest as I can be. I'll say just one more thing on the importance of having the courage to tell others what we believe. It's not just a matter of personal pride. It's not just a matter of being able to feel good, of being able to pat ourselves on the back because we weren't afraid to stand up to the media bosses. If we had shown more courage from the beginning, if we had spoken out the first time and every time the Jews and their collaborators had tried to implement their policies for changing America from a white republic into a multiracial garbage dump for the New World Order, I think the Jews would have found themselves some other country to subvert. I think they would have decided to try their poison on the Turks or the Mexicans or the Indonesians instead of on us. If we hadn't let ourselves be bulldozed and manipulated and backed into a corner, but had said what we believed from the start, I don't think we'd be in the mess we're in today. Courage is catchy. It's contagious. If a nation's leaders show courage, so will the ordinary citizens. But when the leaders are afraid to be honest, then you can't expect the ordinary citizens to be very courageous. A concrete example of this is the ongoing scandal of the rape and sexual harassment of white women in our army by black officers and black non-coms. The Jewish media have had very little to say about this scandal. They have preferred to focus on non-racial stories, such as Lieutenant Kelly Flynn's resignation from the Air Force after being charged with adultery. But the more the Army's investigators dig into the sexual harassment scandal, the bigger it becomes and the clearer the racial dimensions are. The highest profile case the Army's investigators have turned up so far is that of Sergeant Major Gene McKinney, a black non-com who was appointed to the Army's highest post for enlisted personnel at the prodding of the Clinton administration. This top black non-com used his position systematically to extort sex from white women in the Army. The first case came to light in February when a white female sergeant major went public with the story of what McKinney had done to her. Before her case became public, the Army had ignored her complaints. Since then, case after case of McKinney's use of his office to force himself on white female soldiers has come to light. Just a few days ago, the latest of these, a 25-year-old married white sergeant, described under oath to Army investigators how McKinney had raped her last October when she was nearly 8 months pregnant. She is the fourth white female soldier assaulted by McKinney to give evidence in the investigation so far. And the case of Sergeant Major McKinney is only the most prominent of hundreds of cases in the Army in which blacks used their positions of authority over white women to rape them or sexually harass them. Why was this horrendous situation allowed to develop? It certainly wasn't because the Army's leaders wanted it to develop. It may gratify some of the nutcase racial egalitarians in the Clinton White House to read about white women being raped by blacks, but the Army's leaders definitely are not gratified. They didn't want this situation, but they didn't have the courage to prevent it. They were afraid to take steps to protect white females from black males. In nearly every case which has come to light so far, the women victims have testified that when they reported what had happened to them to their white superiors, they were ignored. The white officers were afraid to get involved. They were afraid that they would be charged with racism if they took action against the black rapists. And let's face it, they would have been. That's the standard black excuse for everything, racism. And it's also the excuse of their Jewish promoters in the media, too. But that's no excuse for the cowardice of the Army's leaders. The horrendous situation we have in our Army today is the result of the failure of courage on the part of the Army's leaders to deal forthrightly with the racial issue. And the racial mess we have in American society today is a consequence of the failure of courage on the part of our society's leaders. When the courage of our leaders fails, our whole society fails, and then we become the victims of the Jewish predators who control our media. The one thing that all of us can do now about this is to resolve that our own courage will not fail, that we will not be intimidated, but that we will stand up and speak out forthrightly. Thanks for being with me again today.